Now, our theme verse is a wonderful verse found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5. And I'm sure you've heard this verse before. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We know that it is God's will that we obtain a pure mind. In fact, a few weeks ago, we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 3, that this is the will of God, our sanctification. God's desire is that you be restored into His lovely image. Isn't that a wonderful thought, friends? That despite our past failures, God has a wonderful future for us. And He desires to place us on His path of restoration today. But what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? And how can we obtain it? Jesus used an illustration to answer this question. And I encourage you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 15. And I'd like someone to read the book of John, chapter 15, verses 4 through 8. How may we bear fruit? Well, Jesus told us that apart from Him, we can do how much? We can do nothing. And that He also said, "This is my Father's will, that you bear much fruit." You know, our Heavenly Father's desire for us is that our minds and actions be fruitful, that we bear good fruit. But what does Jesus mean by fruit? What will be the outward results of having the mind of Christ? You know, the Bible actually gives us the answer again. And I encourage you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I'd like someone to read the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. Here we see, thank you so much, here we see a wonderful list of qualities of
Jesus
the fruit of
says
love
in the
and
book
joy
of John,
and peace and
chapter 15, verses 4 through 8.
And it says it is the fruit of the Spirit.
Abide
this fruit
in me,
is from God.
And I in you.
You know, there was no
as
one
the branch
who lived
cannot
a more
bear fruit
fruitful life than Jesus.
Unless it abides
and
in the vine.
A wonderful book called Testimonies
neither
for the Church,
you,
Volume 1,
unless you abide
on page
in me.
482. Says,
"I am the vine.
I appeal to all
who branches.
Profess to believe the truth,
he who abides
to consider
in me,
the character and life
him,
of the Son of God.
Bears much fruit.
He is our example.
For without me,
his life was marked with
nothing.
Disinterested benevolence.
If anyone
he was
does
ever
not
touched
abide
with
in
human
me,
will,
he is cast
who
out
went about
as a
doing
branch
good.
And is withered.
There was not
and they
one
them
selfish act
and throw them into the fire
in all his life.
And they are burned."
Here, Sister White says that there was not
if
one selfish act.
And my
all
words
the,
abide
of
in
Jesus'
you.
Life.
You will ask what
that
you
is
desire,
amazing, isn't it?
And it shall be done.
This is why God the Father, speaking of Jesus,
glory,
said in Matthew 3:17, "This
fruit,
is my beloved Son,
so you will be
in whom I am
disciples.
Well pleased." Now, Jesus' life was a life of fruitfulness. His pure mind resulted in a pure character filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There was not one selfish act in his entire life. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet completely without sin. You know what, friends? So it may be with us. When we obtain the mind of Christ, this will be the result. Indeed, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can have the mind of Christ.
What is
we can
this
live
that
fruitful,
Jesus speaks of?
Holy lives.
The book of Galatians,
but for
chapter
some reason,
5, verse 22 and 24 gives us the answer. And it says,
how
but
may
the fruit of
we
the Spirit
fruitful?
Is love,
how may
joy,
we obtain the mind
peace,
of Christ?
Long
and what are some of the dangers
kindness,
that Jesus told
goodness,
us of how many will become unfruitful in this life?
Self-control. Against
no,
such
friends,
there
we've
is
learned
no
in past lessons
and those
that
who are
just
Christ
like a tree, we need to daily take in spiritual
with
food.
Its passions and desires.
And that spiritual food is the Word of God, the Bible. We also learned in the past that maintaining a relationship with Jesus through daily prayer is also vital. And also we learned about how Satan is trying to poison us through filling our minds with spiritual junk food, media, and entertainment, which conveys his unrighteous character. And 2 weeks ago, we learned that we will fall short of obtaining the mind of Christ if we are willing to settle for a lower standard. But today, Jesus gives us yet another reason why many professed Christians are not fruitful. In fact, once again, Jesus uses the same illustration of fruit trees. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4, as we learn yet another important lesson from Jesus. Would someone offer to read the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 3 through 9? It is Mark, chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. You know, friends, if you have ears, Jesus wants you to listen and understand this parable. And in verse 8, we see something that is a wonderful piece of encouragement. Jesus says, some seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Based on the words of Jesus, you can live a fruitful and victorious life. And in verse 7, we learn of one of the reasons why we struggle to obtain the mind of Christ. Jesus said, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit or no crop. Some seed produced no fruit. What does this mean? Well, in verse 14 of the same chapter, I encourage you to take a look, Jesus begins to explain what this means. And here Jesus says, the sower sows the word. Here in this parable, Jesus is not talking about fruit trees. He is talking about us. The seed represents the word of God. And here Jesus is saying that there are those who have heard the word of God, yet they produce no fruit of the Spirit. These professed Christians experience some original growth in Christ. The seed grows into a tree, but then something chokes
Jesus
that Christian
said
tree,
in Mark 4,
and they become
verses
unfruitful.
3 through 9. Listen,
what dangerous
behold,
things
a sower
Jesus
went
mention
out to sow,
that can choke us and make
and
us
it
unfruitful.
Happened as he sowed, that some seed
Jesus
fell by the wayside,
gives us the answer,
and the birds of the air came and devoured it.
And 19 of that same chapter.
Some fell on stony ground,
here
where
Jesus
it did not
says,
have much earth,
now these are the ones
and immediately it sprang up, because it had no
they
depth
are the
of
ones
earth.
Who hear the word, and the cares
but when the
of
sun was
world,
up, it was scorched,
the deceitfulness of
and because it had no root,
the desires for
it
other
withered away.
Entering in, choke the word,
and some seed
and
fell among thorns, and the
here
thorns
Jesus
grew up
is warning
and
us
choked
today.
It. And it yielded
which can
no crop.
Our spiritual life.
But other seed
the
fell
very first
on
thing
good ground
that Jesus
and yielded a crop
is the cares
that sprang up,
of this world.
Increased, and produced.
Do you have
some
cares
30-fold,
and worries regarding
some
things
60,
of this world?
And some 100.
Don't we all?
And he said
you know,
to
the
them,
book Christ Object Lessons,
he who has ears to
says,
hear,
no
let him hear.
Is free from the temptation to worldly care. To the poor, toil and deprivation, and the fear of want bring perplexities and burdens. To the rich come fear of loss and a multitude of anxious cares. No matter what your economic status is, we are all tempted to worry. But what should we do with our burdens? Again, in the book Christ Object Lessons, page 51, Sister White continues and says, many of Christ's followers forget the lesson he has bidden us to learn from the flowers of the field. They do not trust his constant care. Christ cannot carry their burden because they do not cast it upon him. Therefore, the cares of life, which should drive them to the Savior for help and comfort, separate them from him. Friends, do not carry your burdens and cares of this life on your own shoulders. Instead, give them to Jesus. For Jesus said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. No, friends, it is impossible to have the mind of Christ if you are allowing yourself to be choked by the cares of this world. Why worry about the cares of life when Jesus holds your future in his hands? You know, Jesus also warned us in verse 19 that the desire of other things can choke the word and make it unfruitful. There is great danger in spending all our time in things which are not evil in themselves, but which take up so much of our time that we neglect our relationship with Jesus. Even doing good things, obtaining an education, working an honest job, while good in themselves, are dangerous if you allow them to consume all your time and leave none for the study of God's Word. Do not allow your secular education to take up so much time that you neglect your education in the school of Christ. Friends, do not allow secular textbooks and reading to choke up all your time so that you neglect God's textbook, the Bible. The Lord knows that we desire to do good in school and in our occupations, but we need not worry. There is one more thing that Jesus mentions in verse 19 of that same chapter. The cares of this world are not the only things which can prevent us from having the mind of Christ. For in fact, one of the last things that Jesus mentioned is the deceitfulness of riches. You know, we live in a culture where the primary goal for multitudes of people is simply to reach the American dream. And the American dream says that once you get that degree, once you get that high-paying job, once you get that expensive car and house, once you have money in the bank, then you are successful. Once you get that money and job, then you are living the life. But Jesus has a completely different goal for our life. In fact, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. And here Jesus says something so radical, so counterculture for our American culture. The American dream is not God's dream for your life. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Jesus warned us in the parable of the sower that the quest for wealth can choke out our spiritual life. Friends, do not allow your occupation to occupy that first position where Jesus should be. You know, we live in the richest country in the world, but could it be that there is a famine for true godliness? I fear that we claim to trust God, but all too often we trust in riches. You know, in the last days, those who do not receive the mark of the beast, those who refuse to violate God's commandments and break the Sabbath, cannot buy or sell. And only those who have complete trust in God and absolutely no trust in riches will be able to stand. In 2010, even before the time of trouble, we are in an economic downturn, and we are tempted to worry about our finances, aren't we, friends? We are tempted to place the quest of wealth above our quest for purity of character. But beloved, this makes absolutely no sense. And let me explain why. Imagine if you had very little money, but your dad was a billionaire, and your dad loved you. What would you do? You would probably ask him to help you, to take care of you. I would say, Dad, you own a $1 billion corporation. Can you give me at least a job there? And what do you think he would say? He would say, of course I will give you a job. And of course I will always take care of you. You are my child. You know, if we had a billionaire father like that, we wouldn't have to worry, would we? You know, friends, you might not have an earthly father who is rich, but you have a heavenly father who declares the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. And a God has promised...
In the book of Luke,
again,
chapter 12,
God has promised, I will never
15,
leave you nor forsake
Jesus
you.
Jesus says,
behold,
take heed and beware
behold
of all
what
covetousness
manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God.
In the abundance of the things
why worry about money? Why neglect your relationship with God when your heavenly Father is so rich? You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, friends, you could dedicate yourself to the American dream. You could dedicate yourself to earthly success and receive an earthly reward. But true success gives a heavenly reward. And true success can only come in the service of Jesus Christ. If you dedicate your life to making money alone, you can have a mansion on earth. But if you dedicate your life to God, you can have a mansion in heaven with Jesus. Friends, why live in a mansion on earth when people are perishing for lack of spiritual food, for lack of present truth for the Word of God? If you have money, that's good. God has blessed you with that. Take that money and use it for the gospel. Let your treasure go ahead of you to heaven. For Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Set your goals heavenward. Now imagine, friends, that if you went to a yearly checkup and you got the bad news that you had a cancerous tumor and only 24 hours to live? Would your priorities change? What would be your regrets in life? Would you say, I wish I would have watched more sports, or I wish I could have been there at the Super Bowl or at the Lakers championship game? If you only had 24 hours to live, would you say, I wish I would have spent more time at the office? Or if I would have just had one more promotion, perhaps one more luxury car, or one more home? Friends, I don't think that would be our regret, would it? What would be your final thoughts in life? I think it would be, am I right with God? Do my friends and family know Him? Am I ready to meet my Lord? Today, friends, let these things, the money, the jobs, the houses, the lands, hobbies, entertainment, fade away into the background. Put God first. Give Him everything. Say, Lord, I am no longer the owner of this car. I am no longer the owner of my home. My talents, my abilities, they are yours. I am only a steward. Beloved, I ask the question that if you suddenly found out that you had only 24 hours to live, would your priorities change? If in your mind you answered yes, could it be that today you have allowed something ahead of what is really important? If you know that you would change your priorities and put God first, then you know that you have been placing something or someone above your relationship with God. You know that you have allowed something to choke your spiritual growth. In order to have the mind of Christ, you must have the same mission as Christ. It is impossible to have the mind of Christ if your goals are going in a different direction. If your goals are not God's goals, then your thoughts will not be His thoughts. If your standard for success is lower than what God's standard is, then you'll take the tremendous risk of being weighed in the scales and found wanting. Today's appeal is very simple. Which direction are you going today? Have you placed something ahead of God? Are your priorities God's priorities for your life? Have you discovered that you are a fruitless Christian? Instead of patience, you demonstrate anger. Instead of love, you're full of hatred. Instead of purity, you're full of lust. You know, the good news is that God allows U-turns, friends. Not only does He allow it, He desires it. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We all like sheep have gone astray, but the Father loves us so much that He sent His Son to save us. He sent that good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Today, God is pleading for His children to turn back on His path. Won't you listen to Him today, friends? Make His goals your goals. Make His mission to be your mission. Take a risk and follow Him fully. When you follow the Lord, you truly never really take a risk. In fact, let me repeat that again. When you follow the Lord's will, you take a risk. You never take a risk, for God's promises of aid are sure. Therefore, give God everything. Your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Today, is it your desire to make the mission of Christ the mission for your life? Is it your goal today to lay aside anything that is getting in the way of seeking His kingdom first? Change your priorities beginning today. Now is the time, friends. We all know that for each of us, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Won't you choose to follow Jesus today? Is that your prayer? If so, then I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer as we close today's study. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your plans for us are always good. Lord, we thank you for freeing up the blind at just the right time. And Lord, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus at just the right time for us. Lord, if we are placing something before or ahead of you, Lord, may we push that back. May your Holy Spirit come and bring conviction on our hearts. May you show us our faults. And Lord, may you transform us into your lovely image. We thank you, Lord, for your tremendous love for us. And Father, I just pray for each individual on the line today that you just continue to encourage them day by day to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And may we trust in you day by day and hour by hour. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and answering. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.